记了，我的我的我的。
Dear listener, you're welcome to the audio library of Dunamis International Gospel Center. This message will communicate to you the principles, presence, and power of God that will transform your life and destiny. Dr. Paul is the senior pastor, Dunamis International Gospel Center, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you. We pray your name, Almighty God. Calling us. What we are going to be dealing with tonight, well, we are dealing with it because of Calvary. That is why we have to visit the hill far away. Now, welcome everyone here today, and I believe that your life and your destiny will never remain the same. In Jesus' precious name. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 26. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor the barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The number of your days I will fulfill. The number of your days I will fulfill. Subject is triumphing over premature death - fulfilling your days. That is triumphing over premature death and then fulfilling your days. Our objective first is to arrest the spell of premature death. Our objective next is to understand the secrets of fulfilling our days. Arresting the spell of premature death first and understanding the secrets of fulfilling our days. Please, I want you to be very alert. This is not a regular kind of message where you just listen absent-mindedly. I listened to a message of Papa Bishop Oyedepo titled Celebrating Victory Over Death. And it enlightened the light I already had. So it's a combination light tonight. By way of introduction, it is important to note that the last days will be days characterized by an epidemic of both demonic and human wickedness. An epidemic. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, it says, we are of God, and the whole world lieth. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Human wickedness, demonic wickedness. Why? The devil knows that his time is short. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. He knows that his time is short, so he's doing a lot of overtime. He says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that and what is he using the short time to achieve? John chapter 10 verse 10, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So in the end times, in the last days, there will be a lot of epidemic of destructions, of stealings, of killings. Like we are hearing, like we are seeing an explosion of armed robbery, explosion of hired killings, explosion of ritual killings, explosion of kidnapping. That is the character of the last days. No wonder the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 26, it said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So the last days, the death will become such an enemy. He will try to ravage the saints and ravage the world in the last days. And that is why you must make up your mind to understand what it takes, not to end as a casualty. Beloved, in order not to end as a casualty, we must avoid casualness and carelessness with our lives. Avoid casualty, casualness, and carelessness. We must live consciously, embracing the facts that will make us to fulfill our days. Live consciously and embrace the facts. God is speaking to somebody here. Say a loud amen. I am going to proceed through about 10 things that we need to know. Number one, death's origin. Alright, let's say it like this. Death originated from man's disobedience to God and obedience to Satan. Disobedience to God and obedience of Satan. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 17, Genesis 2:17, God spoke to Adam. He said, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die." The process of death set in when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God and obey Satan. That is the first thing to understand. Number two, death triumphs in darkness and can be tamed by light. It triumphs in darkness and can be tamed by light. The power of darkness is the power of death. When Jesus was about to be crucified, in Luke chapter 22, verse 52, when he was about to die, he said, and Jesus said unto, start from verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, suffered ye thus far? And he touched his ears and healed him. Verse 52. Then said Jesus unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with sword and staves? Verse 23. He said, when I was dealing with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. You couldn't touch me at that time. But at this time that it is time for me to really die, it is your hour. It is also the hour for darkness. So the power of death is hidden in darkness. Am I communicating at all? It is hidden in darkness. That was why Job said in Job chapter 10 verse 20 to 22. I like the scripture to come very fast. He said, are not my days few? Since then, and let me alone that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence I shall not return. Even to the land of darkness. And that land of darkness is the land of the shadow of death. A land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any other. And where the light is as darkness. You see, so the power of death, the power of darkness. Anywhere you see death, you see darkness. Where there is darkness, there is death. That is why the Bible says the dark places of this world are filled with the habitations of cruelty. That is why terrible things happen in dark places. Am I communicating at all? In Psalm 107 verse 10, the scripture speaking, David is speaking, talk about such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being
bound in affliction and iron. What is the meaning? Anybody who sits in darkness is close to the shadow of death. To sit in darkness is to be in the shadow of death. Wherever darkness is found, death is near. Again, Psalm 107 and in verse 14. Psalm 107 and in verse 14. He brought them out of darkness, shadow of death. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Darkness goes hand in hand with the shadow of death. But when light comes, that darkness and death can be destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, it's a prophetic psalm concerning Jesus. He said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. They were in darkness before. Now they have seen light. They were in the shadow of death. Now they have seen light. So if light can enter the region of death, if light can enter darkness, darkness will lose its power. Am I communicating at all? In Matthew chapter 4 verse 12, all the way to verse 16, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Ah, my shaka. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, because Jesus arrived, he said they have seen great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Every time you want death to flourish, all that is needed is for darkness to abound. Every time you want death arrested, introduce light. Am I communicating? Are we together so far? Am I so fast? Please bear with me because we have so many scriptures to deal with, and this matter is a serious matter, so that you and your children can fulfill their days. What is light? John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light is the understanding of the Word. It is revelation. It is insight. That means when there is insight you connect, there is understanding you can connect, there is revelation you connect that deals with the darkness of death. Am I communicating? The understanding of the Word, the revelation of the Word, insight. That is why in Proverbs chapter 21 verse 16, it said the man who wandereth out of the way of light, out of the way of understanding, out of the way of revelation, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The fact that the man stepped out of understanding, he stepped out of light, he stepped out of insight. There are things he needs to know, he failed to know. He remains in the congregation of the dead. In Psalm 82, verse 4. Psalm 82 and in verse 4. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not. No light. Neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of their world are out of course. I have said, verse 5. Ye are gods. 6. And all of you, children of the Most High. He said, but since you don't know, since you don't understand, verse 7, you shall die like ordinary men and fall like one of the princes. Somebody say, God forbid. Say it louder, say God forbid. Say it louder, say God forbid. I cannot die just like that. I shall connect light. I shall connect revelation. Now, everything thing I am going to say from now forward is the light that is needed. And that takes me to number three. Number three says, man's life has a time schedule with God. Man's life, you need to know that your life has a time schedule with God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told us in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 26, that you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread, and bless your water, and take sickness away from out of you. And there shall be nothing cast therein, nor be barren in thy land. Then he said, the number of your days I will fulfill. So your days have number. There is a number to your days. I pray that somebody will understand this today. Understand that you are not existing at random. No. There is a numbering to your days. Look at your neighbor and say, my days have number. My days are numbered. There is a timing, a numbering. Alright, in case you don't understand that, look at Job chapter 5 and in verse 26. Job chapter 5, verse 26. He said, he's talking about the righteous that you read earlier on. Thou shalt come to thy grave. Everybody read it? You shall come to your grave house like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. You shall come to your grave in full age. So there is a fullness of age. Ola, ola. Like a shock of corn. He said you are not permitted to be plucked like unripe corn. Alright, look at it in the Living Bible version. If you have the Living Bible, place it on the screen quickly. Look at it in the Living Bible version. He said, Living Bible. He said, you will go to the grave at the ripe old age. Like a sheaf of corn harvested at the proper time. Woo! Look at the Bible say, I cannot leave this world until it is the proper time. No devil, no witch, no wizard, no cancer, no tuberculosis can pluck you before time. Shout power! Look at what the Living Bible said. That was a New Living Translation. The Living Bible said, thou shalt come to thy grave in... I'm still reading the King James Version. It said, you shall live a long good life like standing grain. You will not be harvested until it is time. Hey! I said you will not be harvested until it is time. No ancestral curse, no generational curse, no accident, no stray bullet, no hired assassin, no terrorist shall harvest you until it is time. Somebody shout power. I'm rushing, but help me tell people around you. Tell them you cannot be harvested until it is time. Touch your feet in the presence of the Lord. Fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt. Listen. It was the knowledge of that timing that Hezekiah had. And Isaiah went to him by prophecy and said, set your house in order, because you shall live and not, you shall die, you shall not live. Hezekiah said in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9 to 10, he said, I said in the cutting off of my days, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Verse 10, he said, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the balance of my years. I am deprived. I am aware that it is not yet time. I know that this is premature death. I am about to be caught. My days is caught. I am about to be deprived of the balance. Lord, what I do? What did I do? You are the one that put my life on a schedule. Then why am I about to be cut short? He said, but it is the living that can praise you. Death cannot praise you. The grave cannot celebrate you. God said, Isaiah, return back. This verdict has to be changed. This man is too light here to die like that. He knows the balance. He knows that he is on a schedule. He knows that there is a balance. It's not possible, because your revelations will determine your manifestations. The man knows the balance of his days. God said, tell him I had 15 more years. Maybe he read the Bible and he read where it was in 70 score and 10. Maybe he was around the age of 55. And 15 more years were left. He said, no. I know that David wrote, the number of your days shall be so and so and so. Why is my own not up to, and I'm about to die? What kind of prophecy is this? God said, go and tell him I release back the balance. No devil shall cut you before your time. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? Let me announce to somebody here. Didn't arrive in this world randomly. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came forth, I ordained you. You didn't arrive randomly. You are not permitted to depart randomly. You didn't arrive casually. You are not permitted to exit casually. Somebody shout, power! Did you see? Some people think that somebody can just die anyhow and anytime. No! It is the darkness and the lightlessness that brings that mentality. Having said so, what is the schedule? What schedule? What is the time schedule scripturally? First, Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 gives us an idea of the first time. Sorry, Genesis 6 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Therefore, his days shall be 120 years. That is a schedule. There is another schedule. Psalm 90 verse 10. After man continued sinning, there was another schedule. He said, the days of our years are 60. 60, a score is 20. 60, that is 60 years plus 10, that is 70. They are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, someone is very, very strong, it goes on to 80 years. Yet, is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is cut off and will fly away. This was the situation of the rebellious Israelites in the wilderness. This was not the normal situation. It was the situation of the rebellious Israelites in the wilderness. But however you look at it, minimum 70 can go all the way to 120.
But there is a span. And I'm coming to that shortly. Minimum 70. All the way 120. That was the first standard. Then he gave us another standard. And that was in Psalm 91, verse 16. So we have three levels. He said, okay, start from verse 15. Talking about those who call on him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Even though I said, lower limit is 70, upper limit is 120. At any level where you are not satisfied, you can ask. With long life, will I satisfy? How many of you know when you are eating with local people? People that are local say, are you satisfied? Most of the time, they say, oh, no. How many of you were saying in the village children, are you satisfied? No. Bring more food. Are you satisfied? Until the tummy is like this. Quick. That is, you have 70 minimum, you have 120 at the other end. But in case you are still not satisfied, let me know what you want. No wonder Abraham crossed that 120, despite that the upper limit was 120. Look at Genesis 25, verse 7 and 8. Let's look at that. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived. 130 years. 130 is 60, 15, 175 years. He crossed that upper limit by 55 years. What about Isaac? Genesis 35, verse 28 and 29. 35. And the days of Isaac were 180 years old. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died. He was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Isaac went ahead of that upper limit. By 60 years. What of Jacob? Genesis 47, verse 28. Genesis 47, 28. The Bible says, the days and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. He lived 27 years above the upper limit. Joseph didn't reach the upper limit. He was 10 years short. That was Genesis 50 and in verse 26. Genesis 50 and in verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. Alright? And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And then we looked at, who is that? Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 9. Deuteronomy 34. And verse 7. And Moses was 120 years. That's upper limit. When he died, his eye was not dim, and his natural force was not abated. Some people say, is this, does it mean it only happens in the Old Testament? Yes, Paul the Apostle was called an aged man. Aged, we don't know the age. He may be 90, he may be 100, he may be 120, but he was Paul the aged, according to Philemon verse 9. He said, yet, Philemon has one chapter. He said, yet, for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul the aged. You know, if you read the writings of John the Beloved, the one who wrote Revelation, the one who wrote the epistles, the one who wrote the gospel, he said, my little children, my little children, my little children. Church history holds that John the Beloved was the only one that died by himself. The others died by persecution. He died, according to church history, about or beyond the age of 120 years old. The one who wrote Revelation. He suffered over all persecutions. So, beloved brothers and sisters, there is a time schedule to the matter.
It is not like a witch will sit down and say, I give that person 7 days. They haven't born that witch yet. Except you don't understand who you are and what you are all about. It's not that an occultist person will sit there and say, let me see how you will see the end of the earth. They have not born that devil. They have not born that devil. Somebody shout power. Or a wicked man with a weapon in his body says, I will take you out of this land. He will be out before you know what is happening. He will be out. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Is anybody excited at all? Look at your neighbor, say, you didn't appear accidentally. And you cannot disappear accidentally. You didn't hear what I said? Anybody appeared in this world accidentally? Can I see your hand? No. You didn't appear accidentally. And you are not permitted to disappear accidentally. This is the kind of ruggedization you need in this day of wickedness to let the devil know your life is not on the line for any devil. Shout power. What you eat, eats you up. What you preach, God confirms. If we don't talk about this kind of thing, he will be there. What we preach, he confirmed the word of his servant, performed the counsel of his messenger, Isaiah chapter 44 verse 26. He's waiting for us, for what we are preaching, what we are saying, what we are declaring to confirm. Somebody say amen. Come on. Can I move to the next level? Number four, the master showed us. That's point number four. Point number one, we talked about the origin of death. Point number two, we showed that death functions where people lack understanding and they lack knowledge, and you are getting it now. Point number three, we started with the understanding that your life has a time schedule with God. Number four, the master, Jesus, showed us the example of triumph over death. He showed us the example of triumph over death. Nobody and nothing could take his life from him. That was what he said to us in John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. John chapter 10, verse 17. He said, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man, no woman, no witch, no wizard, no bullet, no accident, nothing taketh it, no disease taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That was because he had the assignment of laying it down. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Nobody could take his life from him. Nobody and nothing could take his life from him. And that was why nobody and nothing could prevent him from being raised from the dead. Nobody and nothing. What has that got to do with you and me? John chapter 17 verse 18. It says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Anything you did for me because you sent me is what I will do for them because I sent them. John chapter 20 and verse 21, it says, then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. What has that got to do with us? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is, watch him. Whatever step he took, take it. Whatever be his result, is your result. Anywhere his faith led him, that is where your faith shall lead you. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. life is your example to inherit. Am I communicating at all? Lift your hands and say, Jesus, thank you for being my perfect example. I will follow your example. Nothing and nobody could take you out of the earth by mistake. Nothing and nobody can take me out of this earth by mistake. What has that got to do with you? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Light is shining, darkness is disappearing. For both he that sanctifies, who is the one that sanctifies? Who sanctifies? Jesus. And they who are sanctified, who are those? They are all of one. Both they who sanctifies, both he who sanctifies, and they who have been sanctified are all of one. The same root, the same origin, the same agency of transmission, the same outcome. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Say, I will declare my name, thy name, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing unto you. We have the same root. We have the same outcome. If that does not satisfy you, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. We are heirs and joint heirs. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs. With Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. So we share with him the same Father. We share with him the same inheritance. We share with him the same possession. We share with him the same outcome. If nobody and nothing could take his life from him, then nobody and nothing can take your life from you before it is time. Somebody shout power. If I were you, I would stand and dance without a drum. Just 1 minute. Woo! Woo! Tell somebody by your side, I shall fulfill my days and you shall fulfill your days. Give the Lord a shout of praise and take your seat. Anybody receiving life yet? There is a time schedule. Then the master showed us an example. Then number 5. The master, Jesus, took our place in death. So we can take his place in life. Or I say it another way. The master, Jesus, died the death we should have died before time. So that we can live the life that he has. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. I'd like you to see that passage. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, the word angels, yes, the word Elohim, than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died young for you to live long. 33 years and a half. He tasted death for Paul and Enches. He tasted death for what is your name? By the grace. When he was dying, you were dying. You died in him. So that you can live with his life. In Hosea chapter 13 verse 14. Hosea 13 verse 14. It says, concerning redemption, I will ransom them from death. I will redeem them from the power of the grave. I will ransom them. That is, I will exchange. Ransom is exchange. He gave himself as a ransom payment from the power of the grave. And I will redeem them from death. Oh death, I will be your plague. Oh grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes.
He was that ram that took the place of Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 13. When Isaac said, my father, here is the knife, here is the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And God provided not just a lamb, but a ram. That ram, that scapegoat, his name is Jesus. No wonder many years later he told the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham saw my day. That is why that same place where Isaac was sacrificed, that same place is the same place that Calvary took place. That same place is the... Three things happen there. First of all, it is the same place, the same area, that same territory. That was where Isaac found the replacement ram. That was the same place that Mount Calvary and Golgotha took place. That was the same place that the temple of Solomon was built, destroyed and erected back. The same place.
And people say, how old are you before you say, your father Abraham saw my day? Say, before Abraham I was.
It wasn't their case. Somebody say amen.
That was why he freed that woman that was caught in adultery.
This girl was found in adultery. The Lord said we should kill him. He said, any of you that is without sin, kill her first. And he set her free on the spot. Because he came to die for her. She was not permitted to die like that.
That was why they released a murderer by the name Barabbas, who was qualified to die. He said, who should we release? Jesus or this murderer? They said, release the murderer and kill the life. All of us were released when Barabbas was released. Hey! Hey! Lift your right hand, say, I shall fulfill my day.
Take your seat.
I don't know which light you are going to go out of here today with, but the lights are multiple. He died your death so you can live his life. Number six, the enemy is not in control of your life or death.
At times we overfear the devil. So we are locating more power than he has.
Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. He says, I am he that liveth, was dead before, and behold, I am alive again forevermore. Amen. And I am the one carrying the keys of hell and of death.
What is key? Key is access control. Who goes in, who steps out. The key was with Satan the devil before. But when I went and defeated him in the lower part of the earth, I collected the authority. What is the meaning of that? That the devil is not the determinant of your living or dying. He's not.
The devil has no power to determine how long you live or how soon you die. If the power was collected, I have the keys of hell and death. And I am not going to use that key against my own schedule for your life. And I am not going to use that key.
No, sir. Your master is the determinant of that, along with yourself. Am I communicating? The enemy is not in control of your life
or death. Number seven, you have a choice in the matter of life and death. Hola, hola. Hola, hola. Hola, hola. You have a choice in the matter. Look at anybody, say you have a choice. What are you talking about? I'm talking Bible. I'm talking scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 15 and in verse 16. Chapter 30 verse 15. It says, see, look, open your eyes. I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Anyone you choose, it is up to you. Verse 18, 19, thereabout. I denounce you this day that, alright, go to verse 20. I call, 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both you and your seed may live. So you have a choice to live, even when the devil wanted you to die. Somebody shout, I shall live. Ay, 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 ay. All right, look at Paul the Apostle. Nobody messed this up like Paul. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23. Philippians 1:23. Paul says, I am under tension in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That is far better. Nevertheless, to abide with you is more needful. To abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, you need me. So, anybody here, in case you are considering dying, God forbid, also consider those who need you. Also consider those who value you. Also consider those who cherish you. Also consider those who will be damaged permanently by your exit. Suicide has a lot of self-centeredness in it. Doesn't consider the mother, the father, the friend, nobody. No! Paul wasn't about to kill himself. He was making a choice. In verse 21, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, But there is a confusion. At times I feel like, just let me just go and meet the Lord. At other times, I feel like, let me remain. What if I go there, there is no assignment waiting for me as such? Well, assignment of worshiping Him forever. But you people need me now. Place it on the screen. And for yes, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Verse 25. Having this confidence and the awareness that you need me, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I am going to continue. That is, I am not taking permission from the devil to say that I am continuing. I didn't consult with death. The witches and the wizards, I have not discussed with them. I don't need to. What I decide holds. Why are you doing as if anybody can kill you anytime? Listen. And Paul remains. Nobody suffered like Paul. Paul didn't die on his own. They persecuted him. They killed him by persecution. Yet he determined when the persecution should happen. It determined when the persecutors would. It determined when to go. You cannot go carelessly. If you were the one God was speaking to, your amen will be loudest. Lift your hands and say, I cannot go carelessly. I cannot go carelessly. You want to see what Paul suffered? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 to 27. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of the gospel of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, stripes above measure, in prison very frequent. Is it death? I face death too many times. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes with the deficiency of one. Thrice I was beaten, not with koboko, not with blala, with rods. Once I was stoned, you know when he was stoned in chapter 14, and left to die. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. He said, a night and a day. I have been in the deep. Journeys often, dangers of water, dangers of robbers, in danger by my own countrymen, danger by the heathen, danger in the city, in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger among false brethren. This was the man who said, despite these things that are around me, they can't die me. In the middle of this catastrophe, I still have a choice. Hours in the depth of the ocean. Are you an amphibious human being? In the depth of the ocean. Why? I ain't going nowhere. And some people may be wondering, is this possible? It is possible. I read a book, Iron Will. Forgotten the name of the author. A woman was given a diagnosis. Said, get yourself set to die. You have a few more days or weeks to live. He told the doctor, and who will take care of my husband and children? I am not dying. It was as if the doctor was only doing his work. As if the doctor was putting death on him. I said, I am not dying. I read that woman lived 10 years beyond that verdict. Dodie Austin, the mother of Joel Austin, the wife of John Austin, was diagnosed with metastatic adenocarcinoma of the liver. Dangerous liver cancer, and given 6 weeks to live in 1983. Some people have prayed giants like Cora Roberts and so on. But she located scriptures that forbade her from dying before time. 6 weeks of 1983 has not arrived. 36 years later, 6 weeks has not come. She's still alive. We saw her when we went to Houston. She is still fully alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I heard that a skyscraper collapsed somewhere. And a man was picked from under the rubbish of the, as they were packing dead bodies and whatever. Somewhere, I think in Los Angeles or so. He was picked from under the rubble 7 days later, alive. They asked him, they said, many people have died. What happened? What kind of person are you? He said,
When he saw the crack and all the things happening, he said, I willed to live. I decided not to die.
That is, as it is, I swear I must live. You can't kill me. I willed to live.
One of our pastors saw me some years ago with his father. Rugged man. The man didn't know how to bathe with warm water in Harmattan. He would carry the coldest of water and bath. And he said, why? He said, oh, he's a man. Why will he use them?
That man followed a vehicle, lorry. On top of the lorry was grain. The vehicle had accident and the thing some assaulted. And the grain poured on him, the whole thing.
I think he was under that thing for almost 30 days, they said. He was pulled out alive. Fear kills people more than death.
I'll come to that shortly. Is God speaking to somebody here? Lift your hand and say, I have a choice in the matter. I have a choice in the matter. And I must fulfill my day.
Are you ready for point number 8? Very soon we'll reach point number 10. Number 8. Believers exit from the earth. It's called sleep, not death.
That is, when it is time to go, you sleep, not die. You sleep according to scripture.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. See, he said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. That is, you sorrow not, that sleep. That is those who have gone. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Somebody say sleep. Somebody say, for me, when it is time to go, it is a matter of sleep, not a matter of death. It's a matter of sleep.
But that is not the most important thing. Sleep does not happen. Sleep is not permitted to happen until it is night.
Even Paul said it in the same Thessalonians. He's talking of it in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 7. For they that sleep in the night. It is not, you are not permitted to go to sleep until it is night. You are not permitted to sleep for the day until the night has arrived. You don't say good night in the afternoon.
I don't know. Somebody has 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, that is afternoon.
Papa said, good night only makes sense at night.
He said, for him, that age limit that the Bible gave, 70 years, it's like 7 p.m. 120 years, it's like 12 midnight. 7. 120. It's like 7 p.m. and 12 midnight. Early sleepers can sleep by 7. And there are those who feel 7 is too early. Let me go small. Billy Graham slept almost at 100. Is God speaking to somebody here?
Lift up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, I am my generation. We will never sleep. We will never say good night in the afternoon. Say in the name of Jesus, it is good night when it is night, when it is thoroughly night. And if it is not night, I can't say good night.
Take your seat. I am almost rounding off. I looked at the list of 10 oldest persons in the world. And among them is the oldest person in America. It's a woman. Coincidentally, the list is populated by women. Delphine Gibson. She was born August 17, 1903. She's now 104 years, 65 days. What is the secret of her longevity? The woman, the oldest in America and the ninth in the world. Gibson is a member of the Mount Hope Missionary Baptist Church and says that her long life is due to her faith in God. Right? And then I saw another one, Maria Robucci, an Italian. Robucci says she is also 114 years old. She's a few days less than yet. It says that she owes her long life to her faith in God, a good diet, avoiding alcohol, and having a positive attitude. That is, she is the second oldest in Italy and the sixth oldest in the world. Then we have this Ken Tanaka. She is the fifth oldest living person in the world and also one of the oldest, or if not the oldest in Japan, one of the oldest. She also said that she attributes her long life to her faith in God. There are three people having a God element. The meaning of it is, what you are hearing works, and it will work for you. Number 9, death thrives on bait. B-A-I-T-S. Death thrives on bait. That is, there are things that death will see that it will go for. Number 1 is sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56a. It says, the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. Look at how righteousness will counter that. In Proverbs 11:19, please it quickly. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death. Righteousness tends to life. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. We can stop there. See, so sin. Basically, not just the activeness of sin, but the conscience that is guilty. That conscience that is guilty becomes vulnerable. When a person is in the midst of terrible danger, the devil might remind you of the reason why God cannot hear you at that time. Am I communicating at all? But that will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number 1 is sin. Number 2 is fear. And I consider fear as the most destructive. Not necessarily less than sin, but fear. All things being standard, fear is most destructive. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. He said, for as much as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver people who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through the fear of death, all their lifetime subject to bondage. That was why Job said in Job chapter 3 verse 25, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear. Fear. Listen, I've told you before, fear. That's why the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I see death around me, Psalm 23 verse 4, I refuse to fear. Because if I fear, I die. He didn't say I shall not, say I will not. It's a choice. It appears as if death is around, but I will not fear. Oh God. Somebody say, I will not fear. Say, it doesn't matter the disaster happening all around, I refuse to fear. He didn't say, I shall not. He said, I will not. So it's a choice. Am I communicating? Fear. I told you the story before, but I'll tell you now for the sake of the relevance of this. The Bible said the enemy was like a roaring lion. When we were in Kenya, in the national park, the wildlife park, I told you the funny story before. Wildlife park, you are inside the vehicle. Animals are freely moving around. The difference between a zoo and the wildlife park is that in the zoo, the animals are in a cage. Then you are looking at them. In the wildlife park, you are in the cage. Either the vehicle, the wildlife vehicle that is like a cage, the machine, or a car, and you are driving. That's right. That's wildlife. You see the people inside that vehicle there. The animals, lion climbing and so on, wondering how can meat be like this and I don't have access to the food. This meat available like this and they are just moving freely. That's wildlife. But we were inside the car. And as we're going, we're seeing lions moving everywhere and here and there. And we drove until we reached a point. We saw baboons. And the tour guy said, you can come down now. Here he says, what? Here he says, like how? I am a man of faith, but I'm not a man of foolishness. Are you following me? I said, what are you talking about? He said, here it says it. Only baboons are here. I said, all right, we can come down. But if a lion comes suddenly, it's not as if I'm afraid of him. If a lion comes suddenly, what do we do? He says, stand still and behave like nothing happened. Or lie flat. Just don't move. Don't shake. Don't behave like you're afraid. You say it will come near, sniff, and pass. For anybody to attempt to run, he has found food. He will pursue on the spot. And when you shake and you are jittery, he smells the fear. That is how the devil, Satan, the devil, the roaring lion. Am I communicating at all? Most people have died from fear than the effect of an accident. I worked in an emergency before. There are people that they will bring to the accident and emergency. Look at the testimony that this man gave just now. Thank God, probably that was divine intervention. The man was already dead, but he prayed and he came back to life on the road. You were here, you heard the testimony. They took him, MRI, everything, no broken bone, no blood drop, nothing. And he came back to life. There are people in the midst of a terrible accident, you will never be found there. Bam, bam, bam. Say, hey! Will I die like this? God forbid. Our people say his heart cut. That's the end. He died sickless. He just left without sickness. And that person say, no way! In Jesus' name, it is not time. Christ going up, down, steps out of it. It can't be time. I have seen people HIV positive. They may have been positive for 5 years. They were not aware. They are so healthy and normal. Just normal. Suddenly they went for a check. Maybe they want to donate blood to somebody. And they say, let's do a screening. And they said, he's HIV positive. From that day, you see him another 2 weeks, he has dried up. Not from the impact of the virus. The fear. He's going to toilet very frequently. Not because it has reached the full-blown stage of AIDS where he needs to go to toilet. But it's the kind of toilet that people go when they are afraid in the exam hall. Neurogenic diarrhea, we call it. That's what is worrying him. I've seen that. You must tame your fear. Take your fear. How do you deal with that fear? The kind of rugged message you are hearing now, use it to wash your mind. There are times you play this kind of message, plug it in your ears at low volume. Let it not be too loud. Let it be low enough to allow you to sleep, and high enough for you to still be hearing it. When you sleep, your spirit is still awake. Let it be entering. Until you are wired rugged. You begin to act in the light of the light, unconsciously. Somebody say amen. Something has happened to you today. Who is the person something happened to? The bait. Oh Lord. The time is. Well, let's go. The bait number one is sin. The bait number two is fear. And of course, you wash your mind from the effect of fear by the world. And you use light to fuel faith to attack fear. Number three bait is depression. There are those who are depressed to death. Psalm 43 verse 5. Anywhere you see depression, death is hanging around. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Who is the health? My God. That is why people commit suicide. Death is nearby. You start hearing voices. Why are you alive? Life is not worth it. Just go. What is life for? Just go. Some people hear like that till they die or they kill themselves. Death is nearby. Where there is fear. Depressed to death. I told you the story before. In our neighborhood, a woman who was she had children from multi-paternal family. I think she had 7 children, like from 6 men. You remember the woman? Like 6-7 women, 7 men. Different. And all the men were sponsoring her and sponsoring the children. Her own mother was living with her. This woman died suddenly. I still remember her face when I'm talking. Her mother was young looking, light complexion completely. And the mother said, my daughter, you left me like this. 7 days is a date. 14 days is a date. Between these days, I must join you. Somebody say, God forbid. This woman died sickless. Before 14 days on the dot. On the dot, she was gone. She was depressed to death. What a waste. Your daughter
father went and you two went, who will take care of your daughter's children?
What a waste. What a waste.
Only the children suffer.
Depressed to death. Somebody met me sometime, a lady. She said, find out from God whether he is aware that I exist. Nothing could encourage her. The one who created you asked whether he is aware. She died sickless.
Somebody was so depressed, he went to hospital for malaria. They say you are healed now. Go back home. He said no.
He refused to leave the hospital. He didn't wake up the next day.
Life is worth living. The God who kept you alive so far will cause you to fulfill your days. If you are saying amen, shout the louder amen. Stand upon your feet with the loudest shout of amen. A louder shout of amen. Loud more shout of amen. Look at somebody by yourself and say, life is worth living. Life is worth living. You cannot die before your time. The world needs you. You must agree to live. I will say this number 10 points while you are standing. And it's all scriptures I want to read for you. Number 10. God's eternal plan for his people is a long, good life. Eternal plan for his people. Long, good life. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6 to 8. Isaiah 25, 6 to 8. He said, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fasting, a feast of wines from the lees, of fasting full of marrow, of wines from the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. He showed me today how he is breaking family curses, ancestral curses of premature death. Everything that has made people in your family to shed tears continuously, I prophesy today that yoke is broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. See Isaiah chapter 65, verse 19 to 24. I ask us to stand so I can also round up. It says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her. In your family, in your community, can I hear louder amen? Nor the voice of crying. There shall no more be an infant of days then, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. That the time comes where a person is 100, they say he's a child. But the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. That is, his life will be full of evil. You shall build houses and you shall inhabit them. Nobody will inhabit your property because you die before time. You didn't hear me? Nobody will inherit your property because you die before time. And you shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Shout that amen 7 times. Again. Again. Again, 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 again. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 4. Finally,
And he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, in the kingdom, and every one of them with his staff in his hand. For drastic age. Drastic age. Not that you become a liability old man, but you have your staff in your hand. Hi. It is a new day for you. How many of you understand now that you have a schedule with God? How many of you know you didn't arrive here accidentally and you cannot depart accidentally? How many of you believe that the demons of premature death will never ravage your family anymore? How many of you believe that when God speaks, He confirms His word? How many of you know that the spell of death that was hanging around your life just died now? Can you shout 7 hallelujahs? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise for the word you heard tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word to me tonight. I honor you for your word to me tonight. I give you the praise. Thank you. Lift your voice, speak to God. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. It's a night you will live to remember forever. In the years to come, you will look back and see how you escaped several attempts on your life because of this light. Hands up, listen. Everyone in the congregation tonight, and everyone who is saying, Pastor, I don't want the bait of sin to affect me. The bait of sin to affect me. I want to be free from that bait of sin. Maybe you backslid, you want to return back to God. Maybe You are bound by a lifestyle, a negative lifestyle. Drinking, smoking, lying, cheating, duping, whatever it is. And you want to make it right with God. Maybe you want to be born again for the first time. Don't let religious spirit keep you back. Pick your Bibles and your Bibles and rush quickly to the front here and let us pray for you. Pick your Bibles, pick your Bibles, and let us and rush forward to the front here. I'll give you the count of seven. Give you the count of seven. While we do that, we'll take communion positions. Quickly, one.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was Jesus at the
celebration song, maybe by your blood, oh Lord. I like us to celebrate the blood. That is why I sang those Calvary songs at the beginning. Because Calvary is the reason why we shall fulfill our days and not be cut short. Those of you in the front, place your right hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. And say after me, Lord Jesus, say it louder, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Help me, Lord, to live for you, to do your will. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray for you, I declare the hold of the enemy broken, the yoke of sin broken, in the name of Jesus. Grace to live for God is released upon you. Help from above is released upon you. Mercy from heaven is released upon you. Receive it now. In Jesus' precious name. So shall it be. In Jesus' name.
You are coming back with your testimony. You are coming back with your testimony.
We do believe that you have been blessed by this message.
To place your order for audios and DVDs of our messages, please contact us +234 80 332 00320, +234 80 331 44509, +234 704 00 74930, or visit our website at www.dunamisgospel.org. Remember, the devil is not in control. God is in control.